All right, on this episode of Bouks Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to headline yet another BKFC event, specifically BKFC 34, which transpires on December the 3rd. We've got the lightweight championship being defended as Luis Palomino knuckles up and toes the line against Tom Chauve, and happy to be welcoming Luis onto the show once again. How's the day going so far there, man?
That was going awesome, man. I already did a couple of training this morning. Getting over a little bit of a cold. Great thing that I caught it this week and not next week. That's just awesome. And heading right now to another treatment that I do. It's a hyperbaric chamber. More oxygenation to your body. That's going to help me get better faster. But yeah, just going through the day, man. Going through the motions.
Yeah, I noticed that video the other day. How long has that been part of your, I guess, like preparation / recuperation? Like, you seem like a very health-minded guy, but like, how long have you been doing that for, like the hyperbaric kind of stuff?
Yeah, the hyperbaric, we started doing it, I'd say, the last three fights that I've had, I started doing hyperbaric chamber. I love it, man. Anything that's natural, that has to do with recovery, I'm into it. I like reading about it. I like learning about it. And I'm on top of it because, you know, I am 42 years old. You know what I mean? And when I was younger, I worked late nights. I worked like 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. to then go and train, you know, and that's how I became a four-time champion in MMA. But I wouldn't get no sleep. I would like overdose on coffee, overdose on pre-workouts, and that messed up my adrenal glands for a long time. So anything that has to do with like accelerants or anything that gives you energy, get it out of your life, man. It's not good for you, you know? So just focus on anything that has to do with post-recovery. Anything has to do with like amino acids, your protein shakes, you know, hyperbaric chamber is, while we're breathing here, what, 30% of oxygen, in a hyperbaric chamber, I'm getting 100%, you know, and that just stimulates and activates faster recovery, muscular-wise, cellular-wise, and it also helps me with the sparring and the running and everything in my lungs, so it's been great. I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, evident in your fight approach, just your ability to, like, push and sustain that high-level pace, and certainly something you did last time out in the summer there, cementing yourself as a, you know, two-weight champion, first to do so in BKFC and against a familiar adversary there. Just, you know, what was that whole experience like, just, like, having that second belt positioned on you? Like, obviously you had the Police Gazette belt before, but in the sense of having, like, the two-weight division kind of belts there, like, how did that moment feel for you?
Man, the moment was great, and I don't know if you follow all of my fights, but I always give respect to the fighters, no matter what happens before, except for one fighter. I'm not even gonna mention his name because he's an idiot. But I've always give respect. I'm a very respectful person. I'm really about the martial art. I guess I'm old school, you know. So I'm about respect, and if we go to war and everything's said and done, then the least that we can do is respect one another. And I gave Brito that respect, thinking that he had the word of a man, you know? So he took advantage at the fact that there's something going on with BKFC and the Police Gazette belt, and he took advantage of the situation and kept the Police Gazette belt. Like, I would never do something like that. Like it wasn't even a split decision. It was a unanimous decision. If you look at the three last rounds of the fight, when I picked up the pace on him, he's looking at the clock the entire time, wish to God that I don't knock him out. Okay, and then this dude comes, he loses the fight, which he earned both belts together. So how do you earn both belts together, fight and lose, but choose to keep one belt? That is the most ridiculous, dumb thing I've ever heard in my life. Something I definitely would not do. I guess we're built different, but, you know, I guess he don't have a word because he tried to hide behind the whole fact that there was something going on between the organization and the Police Gazette belt. And I told him, hey, you're a man of your word, right? And the best conversation, you're a man of your word. You're going to bring both belts, right? And he said yes. And then when it comes to after the fight, he never even had a time. Yes, he wants to go and do the videos and just talk about how he won the fight and how he was robbed, even a split decision. Like, my face came out the same way I went in. You know what I mean? It's like the second time I beat you, not even close, and you're here keeping a belt. Like, how ridiculous, like, how pathetic are you every morning you wake up? Brito, that's for you, man. Sorry, buddy. If I was you, or the other idiot that keeps talking about that he got robbed, also not a split decision. What I would be doing as the champion that I am, as the fighter that I am, is I'd be fighting back to back, waiting to get that rematch. Not just talking behind the scenes and cameras, oh, I got robbed, and crying and keeping a belt that's not yours. Like, get out of here, man. You know?
Yeah, I mean, all of that is very fair, but you kind of touched on something interesting there, just the situation with, like, the Police Gazette and BKFC, and it seems to have to do with, like, sanctioning fees and things of that nature. Like, it seems like those belts are kind of being phased out there. Like, what's, I guess, your thoughts on that whole thing? Is it kind of, like, disheartening almost? It's, like, almost like the belts being phased out, and it's like you didn't even lose them, or, like...
Yeah, it's a little bit of a letdown. I can't speak too much in detail about it, because I really don't know what the details are of what is going on. I know that there's some sort of misunderstanding or something going on between the organization BKFC and Police Gazette belt, you know what I mean? And the people behind it, like Scott Burt and his partner. But, you know, because of that disconnect, I should have had already, two or three, you know, defenses of the Police Gazette belt, because I practically won the fights. You know what I mean? I haven't lost the fight, so I would be deserving of having those on my record, you know, that I also defended those belts, you know, those times. But it's not being counted. It didn't count when I fought Brito. It didn't count when I fought, what's his name? The other guy I fought, Robert. So it's like, you know, it kind of sucks for me because I'm really about my legacy. I'm really about what I'm doing and how long it's taking me to get here. So it sucks for me. But I can't speak too much on it because I really don't know the details. So, you know, my respects to both sides. I don't know what's going on, but it really sucks that I can't have that. You know, as a matter of fact, I got a message from Scott Burt, and he was apologizing, letting me know, look, you know, you haven't defended your belt, technically speaking, because I fought. But technically speaking, whatever's going on between him and the organization, they haven't sanctioned the fight. So, technically speaking, I haven't defended it, so they were going to strip me of the belt. But he didn't strip me of the belt. He said that he put me in something called Emirates. I never heard of it, but his explanation was that a champion like myself, you know, that has done what I have done, that I stay as a champion Emirates. Whatever that means, something about I'm still a champion, but technically speaking, it's because I didn't technically defend the belt. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't do it on paper, so they have to give the belt to the next person that's fighting for it or just fought for it over there in London. You know, so I'm not the active champion of Police Gazette Diamond Belt, but I am still a champion Emirates, something like that. I don't know. It's a little confusing, to be honest.
Yeah, no, fair, and I kind of tried to word it similarly because I ultimately don't officially know. It's just I've been seeing a couple of things oriented to, you know, talking about, like, you know, sanctioning fees and just what might be going on there. But yeah, I ultimately haven't contacted either side. I think I kind of am, you know, like more on your kind of stance, like just like both, you know, good organizations, and hopefully that can work out. But just in talking about, you know, this fight here, like, I mean, Tom Schoaf, one of the more kind of like tenured guys in the promotion, like you guys have like a commensurate amount of fights in the promotion and everything like that. Like, what were your thoughts when this bout offer initially came your way against, you know, Gentleman of Violence, Tom Schoaf?
Man, look, I'm all love for giving love to those that have been putting in work. I think that Schoaf has been putting in work for a long time. You know, he's been in the organization longer than I have. I don't think, and this is just, you know, my honest thoughts, I don't think he is at the level of the last maybe two guys I fought, but definitely has proven enough to earn a title shot because he's been around the company for a while. I think if I'm not mistaken, he's running a 4 or 3 fight win streak. I think he deserves a title shot. He's been in there. He's been in the grind. He's been representing. So, you know, let's get in there and bare knuckle it up, man. You know, let's see who's the best is. You know, I believe I come out with my hands raised and I make a highlight fight. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And based on what you're saying, like, you're aware of, like, the work he's been putting in for a while. But also, that being said, like, the last time we were talking, it seemed like, in the lightweight ranks at least, you were more so, like, eyeballing, like, maybe, like, a bigger, like, money fight against, say, like, a Chad Mendez or something like that. And you also kind of indicated, like, maybe he isn't necessarily on the level of, like, maybe the last couple of opponents. Does that make it a little difficult in a way to, like, prepare for a fight like this in, like, a motivation kind of context? Or is there, like, a linear motivation regardless of the fight?
Man, I'll be very honest with you. After 17 years of fighting professional, at the age of 42, I kind of motivation in the garbage can along with my ego, you know, and I would say maybe like a good 5 years ago. Motivation can only take you so far, you know. This is about discipline. This is about discipline and how disciplined you are to reach the goals that you see for yourself. If you can really see it, you can achieve it. And that's the way I look at things. I don't look at it no more like, oh, this guy doesn't motivate me. I'll tell you this much, though. After 17 years of fighting professional, you know, riding a 7-fight win streak, first two-weight division, being the first and only, because I'm sorry, Lorenzo's not really a two-weight division champion. The guy, I hit the guy while he was on the floor. Like that should have been a DQ, in my opinion. But anyways, after all of this, I believe that I deserve the money fight. That's what I'm after. I'm after the money fight. I think I've done what I needed to do. All my opponents, other than Brito, were undefeated. I beat all the undefeated fighters, okay, that challenged me. I'm after the money fight. So I'm looking at Chad Mendes. You know, Chad Mendes is a sweet person. Much respect to Chad Mendes. I've always been a fan of Chad Mendes. And I remember him in the press conference. We were going to find the same card, and he's sitting next to me. He's talking to me. He's being very cool. He's being himself. You know, he's talking about, hey, we should do some fishing, you know, or some hunting. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm super down. But at the same time, I'm looking at him like a big old money bag on his head. Yeah. I can't even see his face. I see a big old money bag. Like, I want the money, man. I think I deserve it. I've been fighting for a very long time, and I'm looking for the money fight. So I was looking at him. I challenged him three times. You know, back to back to back to back, maybe more than that. But officially, three times in the ring, I mentioned his name. I challenged him. He already did his debut. He could have gone straight for the title. And crickets. You know what I mean? And then they signed Buoka. And I'm asking for Buoka. You know, Buoka's a, what, 10-time world champion in Muay Thai? He did his debut. I'm asking for him. He's going to fight again. And crickets. I don't hear nothing. You know? And now James Lilly beat my guy that I'm mentoring, that I'm helping, Tyler Goodjohn, which I think is a beast, the Tornado. You know, he beat him. So I asked for him. I asked for James Lilly. And, you know, I didn't get that fight yet. I don't know what they got planned for him. I understand. I even asked for Conor Tierney, you know, because I don't know. You know, this is business too. Conor Tierney, James Lilly are big sellers in the UK. Maybe they want to build him up a little more. Conor Tierney only has 2 fights. James Lilly has what, 1 or 2 fights? So maybe they want to build him up a little more, you know, because if I get them, I'm going to ruin the sales, man. I'm going to destroy these guys. You know what I mean? That's just the way that I see it. You know, so you got to look at the business views, you know? So business-wise, for myself, I'm looking for the money fight, man. So now I hear that they signed Stout, pro boxer, he fought Canelo and all those big names. So maybe that's my money fight. So all I'm interested in right now is which fight pays me the most. The only 2 interests I have, I'm not interested in any specific names. I'm only interested in specific numbers. Which fight pays me the most, and I have to defend the 165-pound belt. Because like I've always said, until you defend it, you're not the real champion. So those are my 2 major concerns. Defending a 165-pound strap and getting paid. That's all I care about. So if you want to talk to me about opponents, talk to me about who is going to get me paid more. That's all I care about.
Yeah, well, I mean, Trout is a very interesting name. Like, I saw he got signed, but I guess didn't necessarily jump as, like, a guy that would maybe, like, test skills with you in a certain sense. Just that it would be his, like, debut. I feel like that would be a really big instance of jumping into the deep end. But, I mean, he seems like a game guy. Like you said, he's fought Canelo and a host of other guys. So, I mean, that would be intriguing. But, I mean, all those names you listed would really, I think, generate big interest.
Yes.
Yeah, and it seems like defending that 165-pound title, you know, has, like, a big, like, amount of importance to you in this context, and not overlooking this next fight, obviously, but would that be the move in 2023 to then defend the welterweight belt?
I'm like I told you, there's just my two interests. You know, I hear people like, oh, defend or vacate, defend or vacate. Man, calm down. Go and earn yours. You got two fights in the organization. Relax, bro.
Yeah.
Relax. Look, I think that the 165-pound division is very tough right now. There are some good opponents, good game opponents in there, some good names, some big dudes. I would say, you know, if I were the organization, if I was in charge of that, let them fight it out a little bit. You know, let them fight it out a little bit. Give me a money fight, man. You know what I mean? Give me a money fight because I deserve it. So I'm always going to aim first for the money because I'm 42 years old and I believe I deserve it. I've done what I had to do and I deserve it. I deserve that shot. I'm making some real money. So I'm more, give me that money and I will defend a 165-pound belt when they tell me to. And you know, Dave knows that when he calls me and tells me a name, there's no talk back from me. There is no talk back from me. The only time there will ever be some talk back is if my manager decides and I decide that the money is not enough for a certain person. That's the only time. Other than that, we're game for anybody. So it's all up to Dave Feldman and BKFC to make the decision, is a week and a half of Boone get paid finally, or are we going to have him get paid and defend his belt? I'm 165, you know what I mean? Because, you know, either or, you know, you got to remember, man, look, in MMA, I'm a small 155er. I'm not a big 155er. I don't get heavier than 175 pounds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's out of shape. So, like, when I'm training, I fluctuate between 170 pounds and 165 pounds. I'm cutting, like, 10 to 13 pounds to defend for 55. I'm not big. So if I have to defend 165, I've been telling Dave, I need to know with time in advance when I'm going to defend the 165 because I need to grow. I need to get bigger because those guys are big, man. You know, I need to put on some size. You know what I mean? And it's not, people think, oh, it's easier because you got to gain weight, you don't got to cut weight. No, it's not that simple. More weight means less oxygenation. More muscle means less oxygen in your body. You know what I mean? More weight means you're going to get tired faster. So it's like there's a science to this. Like I have to grow and train in that weight to then drop to the weight class that I'm going to fight in. So there's a science to it. It's not that simple. I just need time because I am a little older than most fighters. And I just need time so it can be fair. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, well, again, showcasing, like, the fight IQ, which, like, we've talked about before as being one of, like, the bigger attributes you have there. But, yeah, we got to get that money fight going for you with, like, BKFC Peru and stuff like that and, you know, get all that going, like we were talking about last time.
Oh, man, I'm dying to do this in Peru, man. I'm dying to do this in Peru. Look, I'm dying to do it to the point that, tell me what kind of fighter does this, right? I went and I hired a publicist myself. And I did this for myself and for my country. I spent 31 years in America illegal. There was times that I had a work permit. There was times that I didn't. But finally, in a case that lasted about 4 years, I was legal working. I finally received my green card about less than 10 months ago. You know, I go to visit Peru. I hired a publicist, and it went well. It went well. Everybody knows who I am. Everybody always knew, always followed, but not the masses. You know, we're talking about the entire country. I'm the only Peruvian in the world with 9 titles. The only. 4 from MMA, 5 titles. Well, 2 belts from BKFC, but 5 title defenses. I'm the only one in Peru. You know what I mean? So I know that with the right promotion, with the BKFC backing me up to do this again, next year, we can do this right, blow it up, and fill up stadiums easily. Easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was cool that you mentioned, you know, that as well about getting the green card relatively recently. Like I saw you had that post out there and stuff like that. And you were talking about how it was like such a happy day in your life and just how much it meant to not only yourself individually, but also like within the context of like your marriage and everything like that, too. So, yeah, that's really awesome, man. Happy to, you know, see all that, you know, transpire for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, it's great times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I guess as we're, you know, closing in on the end of the year, I guess we're kind of talking about things kind of related to that. Do you have any like specifically mapped out goals for 2023? Like we're talking about like 165 and, you know, BKFC Peru and things of that nature. Are there maybe any other, I guess, mapped out goals you'd like to actualize in 2023?
Yes, because I'm getting close to retiring, and I'll be very honest with you, physically speaking, I can probably fight till I'm 45 easily. I'm not even exaggerating. Easily, I can fight to 45. You know, will I fight to 45? I really don't think so, unless there's some serious money going thrown at me, you know? So goals-wise, I have to defend a 65-pound title. I got to get my money fights. I got to get paid. And the other things that I'm working on with Dave as far as BKFC Peru, because I want to continue doing that. So I don't want to mention too much of that until we have it on paper. But I definitely have to fight in front of my hometown people in my land in Peru. And apart from that, continue doing BKFC in Peru, if you know what I mean. And other than that, man, boxing was my first love before MMA. And I've always said this in every interview when people ask me this. I've always said this, that, you know, I'm a very loyal person. You know, I'm very loyal to BKFC. They're taking good care of me. And with the blessing, and only with the blessing of Dave Feldman, just how he did when Triller had a BKFC fighter fight in Triller with a glove boxing, I would love to do boxing fights, man, for some big money, some big names. I mean, I think, look, right now, we're looking at Mayweather doing all this clown fights with his YouTubers, running around the circle, jumping and talking a little too easy. And I'm talking about, I have no disrespect to Mayweather because he's a GOAT, 1,000%. He's a GOAT, you know? But, what is something that he has never done? I'm not saying for him to take off the gloves. I'm saying he's fought everybody. He's fought the who's. You know, he's making money here and there, just doing easy fights with YouTubers. Then why not take on the pound-for-pound fighter? He's a pound-for-pound fighter of boxing, right? Gloves. So what about fighting the pound-for-pound bare-knuckle boxer? And I mean, here in Miami, we'll fill up the AAA arena, you know, whatever it's called nowadays. You know what I mean? But we can fill up, like, stadium over here easily. I mean, of course, because of him, he fills up anywhere he goes. But in anywhere he wants to do the fight, I'll do it. But I would love to do a fight against a Canelo, Mayweather, you know, or at least somebody that's up there known in boxing and makes some real money, man. That's something that I would love to do before I retire from fighting.
Yeah, and I do respect that about you, and I'm not obviously saying this to, you know, shade Mayweather specifically, but just in the context of, like, the whole, like, influencer boxing thing being more prevalent. Like, I think it's cool that you want to fight someone that's actually proven in the ring as opposed to, like, fighting someone who's got, like, I don't know, like, 2 million followers on TikTok or something like that.
Come on, man. Right? You know what I mean? You know? I mean, hey, look, man, not to point the finger, I think he deserves to do what he's doing. He did a career, an undefeated career, and he's doing his exhibitions. Okay, look, when I talk to sponsors, I've managed myself most of my career, you know, and when I talk to sponsors, mostly the sponsors that take care of your people that are into the fight game, that are fans or friends, those are the people that mostly sponsor you. And when you talk about a person like Mayweather, he came from the ghetto, right? He came from zero. Yeah. And nobody should understand better what we go through to be able to see some real money than a fighter himself that has made it out of there. So if he's giving these YouTubers the opportunity to make $1 million, $2 million, why not give it to a real fighter from the trenches, man? You know, that's been fighting his entire life. And the age is not much different. What is he, 45? 44? I'm 42. So the age is not much of a difference. I'll do whatever testing he needs me to do, you know, but he gives me the opportunity to make some real money, you know, before I retire. And BKFC, you know, is behind the whole thing. So we show a larger amount of people, you know, that BKFC and bare knuckle boxing is up and rising, is here, it's doing its thing, and it's growing, you know. So I think it would be a good thing for all of us, not just for myself.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That's certainly a fight I would find quite intriguing. But kind of since you brought it up a few times, like talking about, like, you know, I can do this for a few more years, but it's not necessarily forever. Like, how much have you thought about what that next step would be? Like, are you going to be like maybe like a trainer or advisor? Like, you strike me as a guy that would still be involved in the sport in some way.
Definitely not a trainer, man. Definitely not a trainer. I've spent too much time of my life in the gym to then have to work out of it and maybe hate it later.
Okay.
You know what I mean? mean, no, I, when I retire, I completely retire. What I will be doing, I do have a management company. So I will be managing fighters, you know, guiding, mentoring fighters. But I'm really into business right now, and I'm really into making money right now. I've opened a couple of businesses I don't want to mention right now because they're just starting off. But I'm really moving into the business side. Look, man, I spend enough of my time, you know, in the rabbit hole chasing money. And I realized that I might be running out of time, and I am. And I haven't made a quarter of the money that I believe I deserve. I think that unless I make some serious money, I won't last more than the end of next year. You know, like I'll probably, 2023 will probably be the last year unless I start seeing some real checks. You know, and I can do it. I started fighting, training to fight at the age of 26. So that's another reason why at this age, you know, I'm not beat up. And in my career, if you follow my career, what hard fights have you seen me in? Justin Gaethje?
Yeah.
Other than that, where have you seen me take punishment? I've been the one doing the punishing. So, you know, fight life, I have fight life. Can I do it? I can do it. Will they pay me enough to do it? That's the question. You know? And if they don't make money, it just doesn't make, it don't make sense, man. You know what I mean? So I'm about the money right now. I think I deserve it.
Yeah, I definitely agree for sure. Cool to hear about the burgeoning, you know, business ventures too. So all the best with that. But obviously very much looking forward to this next fight and, you know, what you'll be doing for the remaining stretch of the combat career. But I feel like I've taken up enough of your time, Luis. I don't want to be talking your ear off all afternoon. I appreciate the time. So, but to that point, is there maybe anything you might want to add as like a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
No, man, just thank you for having me, and huge thanks to BKFC for looking out for me, my sponsors, FYI, Florida Yards International, Cigarette Racing, Top Gun, Gentera Meta, I'm about to go and visit right now, do a little more Hepburn Chamber, Miami Made Bulldogs, Divino Ceviche, and all my sponsors that I always forget to mention, you know, because we're in a rush and all that. Thanks to all the sponsors, because without sponsors, it's very hard to focus 100% on the goal. You know, Hollywood Golden Diamond, and SKRT, you know, thank you guys so much for backing me up and supporting me, man. Together.
Yeah, some good shout outs, and thanks so much for the time. Really looking forward to this BKFC 34 title fight against Tom Schoaf, and looking forward to seeing you, you know, defend the belt one more time and just see how all that goes there. Should be a good fight. Definitely two guys who I followed for quite a while on the circuit now. So, yeah, again, to reiterate, thanks for coming on, man, and you just have a good rest of your day too, Luis.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Take care.